CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying definitely on the surface of the planet Earth, watching the SLS look for a launch date that has long been anticipated for an unmanned test. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black, also marks in his calendar the likely events around SLS. The calendar is marked up for several years, and so there's no reason to believe that 2022 will be different. Bob, March, is it credible to you? Good evening.
Well, the truth of the matter is it's absolutely not credible. Nobody really believes it. That's the date that they're tentatively looking at, but NASA's been very clear on this, actually, since they recognized that they were not going to meet the February date about 2 months ago. They're basically saying that they're not going to give us a new date until they do the what they call the wet dress rehearsal. That's basically a full dress rehearsal of the launch countdown with SLS rocket on the launch pad, filled with fuel, right up to T-minus zero, and then they stop. And so they're planning to do that now in mid to late February. And then they'll roll the rocket back into the vehicle assembly building, and they'll assess how the dress rehearsal countdown went. And then based on what they find from that, they will then determine a date. I have on Behind the Black a link to a really good review from NASAspaceflight.com of what exactly they need to do the rollout before the rollout from this date. And they go over all the various tests they need to do. This is a really cumbersome, complicated rocket to prep for launch, and I don't see ever it really being a practical way to make the United States a spacefaring nation or even competing with other nations in space. But nonetheless, this is the launch, and it's coming up, and it goes through all the details that need to be done and basically then summarizes that until they do that wet dress rehearsal launch, dress rehearsal countdown in February, they can't really set a date. I think a more realistic date will probably be May, with even the summer even more likely. And we're going to have to just wait and see. There is one deadline that affects this, which has to do with the solid rocket boosters that surround the core stage on the first stage of this rocket. Those solid rocket boosters were stacked a year ago, November, December. So they've already been stacked for more than a year. And NASA's previous due date for these solid rocket boosters was that you had to destack them and reinspect them after a year. So it's already past that lifespan due date. There is indications that that was an artificial number, that they probably can last longer than that. Well, we're going to find out right now, John. That's really the bottom line, because if they launch in the summer and haven't reinspected those solid rocket boosters, they will have been stacked for more than a year and a half, and we'll find out if that matters.
Commercial space, strato launch, ROC. What is the ROC, Bob? ROC.
ROC is the biggest airplane ever built. Stratolaunch is a company developed by Paul Allen when he was alive, and the idea was that ROC was going to be the carrier airplane for a rocket that would go into orbit, very similar to Launcher One and the Pegasus rockets by other companies. And ROC was developed. They purchased two 747s. They salvaged the engines and some material and made this gigantic rocket with the longest wingspan of any plane ever, not rocket. And it has two fuselages, not one, with the engines on either side. It's kind of similar to White Knight 2 in that sense. And so it's gigantic. It has only flown three times, and that's the news. It did its third test flight this past weekend. It was up for 4 hours and 23 minutes, did a whole bunch of tests having to do with its handling characteristics at higher altitudes and how to retract and extend its landing gear. They're just, prepping for use. They're not going to launch satellites anymore. The company made a decision after Paul Allen's death about 2 years ago, and this was, I think, a wise decision, because they could not find a rocket company that could build a rocket that would really work off of this. And so they made the decision about 2 years ago. Instead of rockets, they're going to sell this ROC as a test bed for flying hypersonic test vehicles. And in fact, they are developing their own hypersonic test vehicle, basically to allow military mostly to, and private if they wish to, fly and launch hypersonic tests on this. And it's actually very smart. They're filling a niche because doing hypersonic tests is very expensive and difficult right now. Most of the test flights you hear about are probably not what they are because it's hard to do. And so they're offering themselves for that purpose, and this is a successful third flight. They're planning 6 to 8 more rock test flights in the next year leading up to the first test flight of that hypersonic Talon A test vehicle. And they're developing 2 of those. So this is coming, John. It's very cool.
The state of Texas, very shrewdly, looking to develop more spaceport regions. Boca Chica, Texas, of course, is very well known because of the success of SpaceX, both past and future. So where are they looking, Bob, these new regions?
Well, okay, Texas has a grant program. They call it the Spaceports Trust Fund, and the legislature had allocated $10 million to that trust fund to be distributed to various regions to help them do infrastructure development to support any spaceports that were being built in Texas. And so this past week, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, awarded 2 different $5 million grants. One to Cameron County, which is where Boca Chica is located, makes eminent sense. This will help them improve the roads to fill, mostly roads, to handle the higher traffic and heavier traffic that SpaceX is bringing to that once very quiet region. The other $5 million grant they awarded was to Houston. Now, Houston has announced that it has what a commission called Spaceport Houston, and they're trying to encourage people to come to Houston for space aerospace work. It isn't really a spaceport. It's more like an industrial park. This money went to them, to Houston, I think, as much for political reasons as for helping Spaceport, because Houston has plenty of money coming with the Johnson Space Flight Center. However, it's becoming also increasingly irrelevant because NASA is no longer launching any rockets. And so, other than SLS someday. And so they gave that money, I think, for political reasons. There are a lot more people living in the Houston area, and you want to support them somehow, John.
I want to tell a story, Bob, that my brother sent me an animated version of the speculative future for SpaceX for its launch to the lunar surface of its probe, unmanned probe. And what is magical about it, Bob, is that I'd never seen all these terms rendered as not a cartoon, but it's animated. SpaceX proposes at Boca Chica to develop a system that is multiple launches in a time frame, a very tight time frame, so that they can launch the lunar probe into orbit, and then the same booster comes back down, grabbed by an arm, lowered, refueled, and you put on top of it a tanker, 3 tankers in a time period. I don't know what it is. To fill up the lunar fill up the lunar probe, and then the lunar probe flies off to the moon with mid-course corrections, lands on the moon. It's spectacular, Bob. It's not anything I ever imagined we could actually build. And so even if only half of it happens in a reasonable time frame, the future is lunar and beyond for these probes. Yeah. It's very straightforward.
Yeah. The whole concept behind the Starship rocket and Super Heavy booster is fast reusability. And, you know, when they built the Falcon 9, they didn't originally build it with the idea of reusability the way it ended up. And so to a certain extent, some of the design there is cobbled. However, they've done a really good job. You know, they now have boosters that have flown 10 times or more routinely, and they know how to do it, and they very reliably know how to do it. So now they're building SLS from scratch. Not SLS, I'm sorry, but not SLS at all. They're building Starship from scratch with reusability in mind, and they already know what to do. And so they're building this with that. They're going to be, there's a very good, the odds are very high that they're going to succeed in their concept of being able to fly this thing on an hourly basis. Hourly, once it lands, because to get into orbit only takes about 10 minutes, and coming back only takes, what, 15 minutes. So if you can grab it on the launch pad, put it on the ground, and refuel it right then and there, my gosh, yes, you can fly hourly. And, it's pretty amazing.
And this was just one image of the one launch site at Boca Chica. You could see this being multiplied across the landscape and having having a spaceport that takes off every hour, every 2 hours. You could see scheduling, you know, freighter for Mars. I mean, it was all imaginable. Now let's go to others that are looking to catch up with the commercial space success in the U.S. JAXA, the Japanese spaceport, they have a new rocket. What's happened? The Japanese space.
This is not a spaceport. JAXA is the space agency equivalent to NASA at in Japan. And unlike NASA, they have not made yet the transition to letting private companies own what they build and design what they build. JAXA is has a prime contract in Mitsubishi to build a new rocket called the H-3 to replace their H-2 rocket. And the government basically is designing this like SLS, and Mitsubishi is just building it for them. And it's had problems. There are now rumors that during an engine test, there were significant problems, holes in the combustion chamber and a crack in the turbine that required a redesign of that engine. This is kind of similar to what happened to the Chinese with the Long March 5. And so they hope to launch the H-3 in the end of March. It looks like now the rumors are that it could be a year plus delay redesigning that engine. And this comes down to the fact that they still in Japan not trying to transition away from government-run space work, instead let private companies do it for them.
Elon Musk is speaking with candidates, politicians in the Philippines. To what end, Bob?
Well, it's interesting. They had a virtual meeting with two senators from the Philippines, one of whom is running for the president's election that's going to happen in May in the Philippines. I think the reason this happened was twofold. One, SpaceX wants to get permission to sell Starlink in the Philippines. They definitely have a ready market there, a lot of remote people who do not have good internet access, and Starlink would give it to them. That's SpaceX's reason for doing this. I think the senator's reason, one of them that's running for president, his poll numbers aren't that great. So I think he met with SpaceX to pump up his numbers. And in doing so, he was proposing a whole bunch of projects with SpaceX, not just Starlink, but put a launch pad in the Philippines. Also build Tesla cars and maybe build tunnels connecting islands using the Boring Company of Musk. And so he was trying to up his numbers by suggesting all these great plans, and a lot of them are good ideas, actually. So we're going to have to see how this plays out, who wins the election, and, you know, whether SpaceX can get in there or not.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going to the surface of Mars when we come back, and an anomaly on Perseverance that needs to be solved. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.